Beginning the End, April the 3rd, 2024. It's a new episode of Leaning Toward Wisdom, the podcast. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Now, sloping seems more gentle than stumbling and graceful. And when it comes to growing older, it can be inaccurate. We sometimes don't slope toward it. We stumble and faceplant. Everywhere I look, I see opportunities, I said, and this was in a conversation last week about how we see the world and our place in it. Me, I have lived life trying to take various hills and then quickly seeking out some new hill to take. And sometimes the hill is simply making it better, always making it better, or trying to. And it is the curse of my mind. Yeah, the sixth sense, little kid, everywhere I look, I see dead people. And some of us, everywhere we look, we see problems and complaints. And everywhere I look, I see opportunities. But, hey, that's just me. As I approach the beginning of my 67th year on the earth, I know that the end began on day one. You know, growing up, kids only think about the present or the future. But I guess age and experience urge us to focus on the future, and we increasingly lose track of the present. We may even lose track of the past. You know, and we can sit here and we can think, well, today wasn't great, but tomorrow would be better. Until we realize that our past is larger than our prospective future, which prompts us to remember and to think back. It's one reason that old people don't tend to talk about the future, but they rehearse, often with boring repetition, the past. In a conversation with a small business guy last week, we were talking about starting something new, some new initiative or some new business later in life. And the conversation morphed into that proverbial runway that we all have. And because as you get older, that runway shortens, meaning the time that you have to get liftoff or the time that you have to land the plane, that is the idea, the opportunity, it's shorter. And so you certainly are less of a risk taker at this stage of life. In the future, I will tell you that I am liable to be guilty of the same behavior that we often see in, well, what we used to affectionately call old folks, you know, who just stuck talking about the past because, well, at some point, there just wasn't much new happening in their life. Days turned into months, turned into years, and kind of a rinse and repeat. And I certainly believe that all of us are capable of living long enough that that will be the case for us too. But the end has begun. Make no mistake about it. The end of many things has begun, but it sparks the beginning of other things. And experience, not age, has taught me how little I know. And as far as I have to go to reach my ideal outcome. And mostly that ideal outcome is me. It is work on myself. And I don't mean this in some self-centered, narcissistic way, but I mean it in the sense that every one of us have got to contribute to the world ourselves. Being our best self. I mean, what else matters? My impact, whatever that might be. Your impact, whatever that might, that's all any of us have to offer. Now, I don't think that's a minimal thing. I think that is a rather massive thing. of course, more so for others, maybe than us, because talents, ambitions, drives, opportunities, they're not equal. And then there is that ever arguable thing called luck. Mark Cuban has remarked quite a lot lately in print and in podcast interviews that luck was the difference between him being a millionaire and a billionaire. He's gone on record and says that based on all the things that he's learned so far, if he had to start from scratch today, he feels pretty confident that he could make 10 million bucks. 100? Yeah, maybe. But the B number, the billionaire number, Mark has said it over and over and over. Luck. Pure luck. Good timing and all that. So it goes. I don't know about you, but I feel like over the course of my life, I have grown. There is evidence that would show that that is somewhat true. It might not be as true as I would like it to be. I mean, never mind that there are people on the planet who likely view me in light of the very worst chapters or the very worst sentences that I've ever written. But, you know, everybody can make up their own mind about me or you or anybody else, and well, they do. My days are spent with my work, and frankly, even me as a person, focused on other people's lives. And I don't mean that in some jealous or covetous way, but in an empathetic way. Now, largely because of the work that I do, it is based on their professional challenges and opportunities, but not always, because sometimes the focus is solely and squarely on their personal lives because, well, that's what ails them. And in that moment, that is what can ail them deeply, because for all of us, challenges come from all angles, but in those challenges tend to be the opportunities. Now, I said at the outset that the drive for me to make a difference is always the hill that I'm trying to take. And the methodology for that is asking questions. How can I make a difference in my life? How can I help make a difference in somebody else's life to help them figure it out? Questions. It's the only way I know. I figure things out by asking questions, because asking questions provides answers. And questioning answers, it clarifies existing answers. And in the work, the focus isn't on me. And so the questions are aimed at helping other people figure it out. I mean, after all, it's their life. It's not my life to figure out. It's their life. And it really is a deep version of an old TV show that existed when I was a kid. So very few of you will even remember it. You can Google it. This Is Your Life. Except it's not my life. It's their life. This is your life. I mean, I got my own stuff to figure out. And I guess the work, it's only about me to the degree that I can help better understand, ask better questions, and so that I can be better at helping them figure things out. And there's a lot of aspects to our life. There's relationships, there's career, there's faith. There's financial circumstance, there's habits, there's beliefs, there's choices, behaviors, skills, abilities, perspectives, hobbies, preferences. And all of these things are subject to change. And I might add, they're subject to improve, which necessarily means that they're also subject to not improve or to grow worse. Everything decays, and decay starts at the beginning. And it continues until the end. But you know me, I'm a faith-based guy. And eternity changes everything. Because according to God's word, heaven has no decay, but neither does hell. Bliss or torture throughout all eternity without interruption. Well, that's not how life works here, not on earth. Bliss, happiness, joy, peace, they are all interrupted by decay, because each one of these has enemies that disturb or destroy. In fact, each one of these have many enemies that disturb or destroy. And our lives are subject to change because, well, other people have choices, and those choices that they make can interrupt our choice and our preference. Some years ago, I had different goals and dreams than I had within just the last 2 to 3 years. The changes in my goals over the last handful of years were driven largely by the choices and the behaviors made by other people, which compelled me to change my mind as I tried to figure out my best path forward. What I thought was going to be my best path forward turns out, okay, now given what choices some other folks had made, that was now no longer going to serve me best. Well, it happens. It's happened to you, and it will happen again. Now, there are people who enjoy blaming God for all of the mishaps, for all the misfortune in the world. But these are people who fail to realize that we are all humans, fully capable, because of God's design, to make up our own minds. We have the freedom to choose. And our decisions impact the world around us. And it's not always good because we don't always make wise choices. Our selfishness, our sin, takes a toll on the world. We help create destruction and pain and sorrow and sadness and damage. And we can all bring our foolishness to an end. Well, at least we can begin the end of our foolishness. And that doesn't mean that we begin the end of everybody else's foolishness. It's us. This is an individual work. Private, okay, yeah. Doesn't mean it can't include some other people to help us, like this podcast. I mean, the point of this podcast has always been and remains an intentional leaning toward wisdom. I'm in this podcast, I'm urging us collectively and individually to put in the work and to get started ending our foolishness and continue that work, full well knowing we aren't going to reach the apex. We are not going to achieve a day where it's like, okay, done. Tomorrow, not going to have to worry about this anymore, because our foolishness is always, it's just hiding around every corner of every decision that we make, large or small, to just be a fool. And our choices impact and influence everybody around us. And it impacts our world. I've outlined just all of those different areas of life. And I guess if you want to just look at it a little more simply and a little more binary, black and white, it's relationships or personal, and it's work or professional. And there is this, well, there are many aspects probably, but there's this one overarching aspect that certainly crosses over both, and that's spiritual. At least it does for me, and I think it does for many of you too. There are beginnings and endings in all areas of our life, and these are, I would tell you, not only are these good, but they are necessary. I mean, one of the things that leaps to my mind as a Bible-believing Christian is repentance. Repentance is a beginning of the end of foolish, intentional, sinful behavior. It, in a word, is not going back, not turning back, going forward, saying, I'm done with that, not going to do that anymore, at least not willfully, not intentionally, but we're not perfect. So yeah, we're going to have bouts of foolishness that we will battle all of our lives. There are beginnings and endings in every area of life. I think about relationships, and I think about relationships that were once critical to me. I think back to childhood. We had these childhood friends, and we spent hours and hours every day, whether it was at school and or in the neighborhood, and just hanging out. And I had many of those relationships that I haven't seen these people, haven't talked to these people, have had no communication with these people for decades. They were important, and I value them, but they had their moment. And that's the way some relationships are. They are for a season. They are for a time. And when the time is over, it was great. It was hopefully helpful and profitable, but it had its time, and now it's ended. And that probably is true for most all of you. I mean, the one childhood friend that I had, I lost a number of years ago. Oh, there's no question. We thought we would grow to be old men together, but it didn't happen. And it ended, not by choice, but by death. Well, okay, that'll end a relationship for sure. There have been other relationships that I ended intentionally because, well, as I said before, we all make some choices and we all have some goals and ambitions, but sometimes those get interrupted because somebody else makes a decision that now makes us rethink that. And in light of the move they made, that move that we planned on making, yeah, that doesn't look like, as I'm looking at this game board, that wouldn't be a good move now. It would have been a good move before, but not now. We all have relationships that may be problematic. Most everybody that I talk to, they have at least one relationship that they would describe as toxic or as unsafe. I'm rapidly closing in on not having any of those. I'm working real hard at it because I completely respect that people can make choices. They can behave in ways that aren't positive for them or anybody around them. And if you choose to be in their wake, you can. I just choose not to. And so there is, in some cases, the beginning of the end, and then I try to hasten to get to the end. In some personal, you know, maybe more close relationships, say with family. Well, I mean, let's just take a husband and a wife. I mean, I've got this one relationship with another human being, my wife, that trumps every other relationship. It just does. I've got other people in my life that I love, but, and it's not a contest, but if it were, everybody else is going to lose. And it's just how it should be. In my mind, she is the most important human on the planet for me. And so I'm going to invest more happily and willingly there than I might otherwise, because it's a relationship that has that kind of value. As you look at, if you're married, if you look at that, I would hope you see the wisdom in making this other human that we've made these vows to and these commitments to, that, yeah, it's special. It's uniquely special. Now, there are other relationships that have grown over time and some that have eroded over time. And I'd love to tell you that, well, I'm never at fault. Well, that's not true. We've all got issues. Can we work toward beginning the end of, say, a bad situation? And can it be morphed into a good situation when it comes to a relationship? You can. Hard to do. Just in my experience, really hard to do. And it can only be done one way. And that is if both people have a vested interest in making it happen. Then it can happen. And I've experienced that. And it's great and it's wonderful. But I've also experienced it when I wanted some resolution, but the other person had no interest. Good luck. I mean, that's when you just have to, okay, this is the beginning of the end of the relationship. This will cease. This will stop. And frankly, it's probably best for both if you do, as opposed to just continuing on down some toxic road. When it comes to work and professional things, there certainly, and I talked about plate spinning a couple of episodes back and having too many irons in the fire and just too stinking much going on. I was having a conversation with a client the other day, and this person had gotten a number of promotions over the last number of years. And today they find themselves making more money than they ever dreamed they would make. And a higher title and a lot more responsibility. And it just doesn't feel as good as they anticipated it would. All that glitters isn't gold. And they have found that out, and they have found that out the hard way. And as we were talking and as I was listening to them kind of lament some of the things that weren't going as expected, the conversation morphed into this trap that we can all find ourselves in where we literally have these financial handcuffs, where we are trapped in a career, we're trapped in a profession, we're trapped in a job, and we really can't end it because we're making too much money. It's like, I'm not going to walk away from that. I mean, would it be wise to walk away from that? I'm not saying it would be, so don't misunderstand me. But it's one reason that as I look at irons in my fire and I see, okay, well, this iron, it has a certain dollar amount tied to it. And it's like, okay, well, is that dollar amount, how significant is that dollar amount? If I dread it, if I hate it, well, better to walk away from it early than to let it stay around too long and become too financially successful, and then you're really trapped. But these are tough decisions. These are really, really tough choices. And they're especially tough choices if we feel like we don't have options, we don't have choices, which was the case, at least that's how this person felt, that I was helping, that I've worked this many years and I've got these kinds of credentials and I got this kind of experience, and here I am, and kind of, you know, I've been climbing this mountain, and now that I'm at the kind of the top of the mountain, not the tip top, but I'm real close to the top, it's just not what I thought it would be. And my heart goes out, and I'm very empathetic. That's a hard place to be. And it's especially hard to begin and end of that. And if you do, what does that look like? Well, we talked about it. He and I talked about it. Now it's his life, and it's up to him what he chooses to do. He could decide to begin the end of a thing in order for him to begin the beginning of something else. What will he do? I don't know. He's still in the throes of trying to figure that out. And maybe you are too. It begs this question, how important is it to be happy? People get real fixated on happy. We enjoy a culture that loves to focus on being happy. I have found that that's a poor goal. That's just me. I don't have aspirations for happiness. Happiness can be, it can be fleeting seconds, and then it's gone. So I just find it, I find that about as valuable as trying to chase fog or steam. I kind of like to see fog every now and again. I kind of like to see steam every night, but I'm not sitting here trying to, I'm not trying to hang on to it, because it's not something you're going to hang on to. But I can look out my window and I can see nature and I can hang on. There's a lot of other things I can hang on to. Is it a happy thing? It's kind of a joyful thing, kind of a peaceful thing, kind of a rewarding thing. So, you know, you do you, I'll do me. What I choose to pursue and what you choose to pursue, again, we've got the choice. We can do what we want. I know that professionally there are things that I am beginning to end. And I'm beginning to end them because, well, probably at this stage of life, I just want to. There are some things I just don't want to do anymore. I'm tired of doing it, and I really don't want to do it anymore, and I don't want to go to bed at night, and I don't want to get up in the morning dreading doing it. I want to get up in the morning looking forward to the thing that I look forward to. Now, I'm at a stage of life, financially and age-wise, where I can afford to do that. I would also argue that I'm in a stage of life, and I could argue, no matter where you are, that you could be at this stage too, because I don't know that there's a specific age. I don't know that there's a specific financial situation that would dictate us doing things that we dread. Here's the caveat. You can't dread being responsible. And sometimes we do things because we're responsible. I have spent countless hours and hours and hours and hours doing things I dreaded because it was the responsible thing to do. So does that mean, okay, well, so you're going to get to be a certain age and you get to have a certain amount of money and then you can just be foolish? Well, no. I want to lean more into wisdom now. The runway's short. You kidding me? I mean, who wants to round the fourth quarter pole and then stumble and fall before you cross the finish line? We want to finish this thing strong, this thing being our life. So no, we want to do the very best we can all up to and through the end of this life. So it's not that, it's just that with so much time on the runway, what are you going to do with it? And am I better off spending it, investing it in myself and in whatever I can produce for the world, whatever that service looks like? Am I better off doing what I now know or believe I am most ideally suited to do and to do well and what I love? Or should I get up every day devoted to that thing that I dread the most, which isn't likely going to be my strong suit? It's all just a return on investment. The investment that we're making in ourselves turns out to be the investment that we're making in other people, and it turns out that that's the investment that we make in the world. And it turns out that our wisdom to begin the end of the right things so that we can start more valuable things. True confession. As I end this recording, it is 1:26 p.m. Central Time on Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2024. And my 91-year-old mother entered hospice about a week ago. Not quite. And the death rattle has begun. Any of you who work in hospice or have had experience, you know what I'm talking about. So the beginning of the end, well, that started happening 91 years ago when she was born, almost 92. And we are nearing the end of this stage of life. And looming large ahead for her and for all of us, eternity. It will be the end of an almost 74-year marriage to my dad, who is holding her hand and singing to her. But the beginning of the end, in order to get out of, well, in order to get to the next life, which is Christians, we have a hope, we have a faith, we have a belief. Well, you got to leave this life. You can't take this life with you. So in order for her spirit to soar and for her spirit to have eternal peace, this life must end, and so it goes. Make use of your time Be mindful of the moments and the hours and the days spent staring at your phone as the world passes you by, as relationships may falter that don't need to falter, as you find yourself failing to take advantage of opportunities to say and do those things that can have a dramatic impact on another life. Mostly, I would tell you, avoid being a spectator and be a player. Be a hardcore player and make the difference that you can make. My name's Randy Cantrell. The website is leaningtowardwisdom.com. Greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.